Such an encouragement to meet together in this way and just hear again the reports from our different sites and different gatherings and just sense that God is doing something amongst us. And always said I don't want to over-egg things, I don't want to hype things, but just hearing some of the things that are happening and just knowing some of the other things that are going on behind the scenes, I just sense that God is moving us forward, and it's so exciting. And when that happens, it's an encouragement to pray more, not to rest on our laurels, but to really seek God and to recognize our dependence on Him as we move forward. We're thinking about values across South Parade, thinking about our DNA. A picture is going to come up on the screen which actually shows some DNA and actually shows our values. And these are values that we're offering to the church, following Jesus' centrality of the Bible, engaging in mission, embracing adventure, and faithful in prayer. And those things are things that we believe are a part of our DNA as a church, but probably a part of the DNA of many churches. And if you have a look at church websites, if you go around different churches, you will often see something quite similar. Following Jesus, the Bible, engaging in mission, the importance of prayer. These are things that many, many gospel churches would embrace and have as part of their values. And that shouldn't surprise us or disappoint us. That's actually an encouraging thing, a positive thing, because at the end of the day, God is God, and the gospel is the gospel, and the Bible is the Bible, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel is the good news about Him, and it's good news in every age, in every time, and in every place. And so if we were coming up with something that was a bit different, that was completely unique to South Parade, people would legitimately say, hang on a moment, are we going off the page here? Are we moving away from gospel faithfulness? People used to say and sing, tell me the old, old story. And we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ that is firm and fixed and dynamic, absolutely, but is something that is there for us to share. We're not at liberty to change it. We're not at liberty to tinker with it. And so it's the old, old story. But also we need to proclaim it and live it in a day and generation that is very different to how things were 50 years ago, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago. The value that is perhaps slightly different is the one embracing adventure. I meet up on a fairly regular basis with a friend who is a sort of a leadership coach, and he mentors me in leadership, in church leadership. And when I went through these with him, he opened his eyes with embracing adventure and said, you know, that's a little bit different. And yet I think it's something that is part of the DNA of South Parade. It's South Parade at its very best. Thinking about the history, thinking about the way that God has worked in this church, it has been at its best as it has embraced adventure and as it has been willing to do things differently. You know some of the history of the church, you know the church perhaps from the inside as a participant observer for many years, then I hope that you will appreciate this. And that's so important too, that we recommit to this for a new day and generation, because it's the old, old story, but it's a very new culture, a very new context. social commentators talk about how we live in an accelerated culture. Everything is speeding up. Fast-paced change has become the norm, and it's here to stay. And so if we are going to communicate, if we're going to live, if we're going to share the glorious gospel that is life and health and peace to us and is just wonderful for everybody, whatever their situation in life, we are going to need to be flexible. We are going to need to take risks of faith. And so we have the never-changing gospel in an ever-changing world. And so these values are offered to the church for us to continue to reflect and pray if this encapsulates who we are as South Parade. And I think that it's so exciting. And I think that prayer is so wonderful and exciting. And we have been reminded of this so much in the different reports that we've had back from various people. And today, fairly briefly, what I want us to do is just to have a look at those closing verses of Psalm 119 and to ask ourselves the question, well, faithfulness in prayer, what does that really look like? This psalm, and especially these last two stanzas, give us some really good clues to this. And it's not really a psalm that's often spoken about in respect of prayer. If you know this psalm well, you might be thinking of it as a psalm that really extols the virtues of God's word, the Bible, the scriptures. And so indeed it does. This is a psalm about the Bible, speaking about the perfection of God's word. But it's also a prayer that is addressed to God. And we see that right throughout these verses. So much of them are direct speech to God. And so we just take Psalm 100, verses 161 to 163 as examples. The psalmist says, "Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your words. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law." See how the psalmist is addressing God. My heart trembles at your word. He rejoices in God's promise. He loves God's law. And so here the psalmist is praying, and he shows us an awful lot about what it means to be faithful in prayer. First of all, if we're going to be faithful, we'll be shaped by God's words. We see that right throughout this psalm. Psalm verses 166 to 67. It's quite hard to quote the verses because there's so many verses in Psalm 119. You're talking about hundreds instead of just sort of verse 1 and verse 2. But if you look at those verses, notice that it's follow and love and obey. And there is that sense of love for God and love for God's word. So if we're going to be faithful in prayer, our prayers are going to be shaped by God's word. It's very true, of course, that we can just pray as we are where we are. Pray as you can, not as you can't, is a good motto. And wherever you are this morning, wherever you are with God, whatever the troubles, whatever the difficulties, we can just lift those things to God in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that in your lives. But as we go on in the Christian life, God encourages us to press through to maturity. And that is the case with our prayer life. And often I know from my own experience that my prayer life can be me, myself, I. I'm praying about myself, and sometimes it's my sort of own desires that haven't really been brought under the lordship of Christ. And so my prayers are okay, and God can sort of redirect them because he's so glorious and gracious and wonderful. But the pressing through to maturity involves our prayers being shaped by the Word of God. And so I want to encourage us to be people who read God's Word as well as to pray, and those whose prayer lives are shaped by the priorities of God's Word. In the Headingley evening gathering, we've been looking recently at the different prayers of the Bible, particularly prayers in the Old Testament. And it's just been striking to me that the priorities that these men and women of God had in prayer are not necessarily my priorities. May our prayer lives be shaped by God's words. Also, we are to pray different types of prayers. Thinking about spoken prayers, we are to be kaleidoscopic in our prayers rather than monotone. This comes from my childhood. Does anybody, my generation and older, remember kaleidoscopes? It's absolutely fantastic. Any of you who are younger, any idea what I'm talking about here? They get these toy kaleidoscopes. I used to be fascinated by these things. It seems strange to remember now, but I had this little kaleidoscope that was wonderful, and you turned the end and you get these lovely different colourful patterns that appear. And I guess I had simple pleasures when I was younger, but maybe some of you can resonate with this. And just the wonderful colours that were there. And what we see in this psalm, yes, it's absolutely shaped by the Word of God. The prayers are put into a biblical harness, but the prayers run a whole range of different things. There is praise in verses 164 and 171. There is thanksgiving, there is confession, there is intercession. I have talked in the past about Acts as a way of remembering different types of spoken prayer. We are called to be those who give ourselves in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Supplication, I always think, is the one that doesn't quite fit, because we'd want to use a more simple word for asking for things for us and for others. But supplication is the one that fits the rhyme. And wonderfully, in the NIV, in verse 170, supplication is actually used as a word. So because I'd used this Acts thing before, I wasn't going to do it today. But when I saw the word supplication was there, I thought, I've got to do this, because it's actually there in the text. We are called to praise God. We are called to give thanks to him. We are called to confess our sins, reminding ourselves that we always rely on the grace of God. And we are called to ask for things. We are called to intercede. And many of us are better at one or two of these than we are as others. But if we're going to be faithful in prayer, God calls us to develop in all of these areas. And God answers prayer. Not always in the way that we want, not always in the timing that we want, but we've heard already this morning that God answers prayer. As well as the wonderful things that we have heard about today, I want to remind you of Rooted, the group that meet here on a Tuesday evening. Jeff, who is mainly based at Crag, heads it up, and I think the team is a mix from different sites of South Parade. Probably Crag is at the heart of it, reaching out to people who are vulnerable, people who are homeless, on the edge of homelessness. That work has always been really, really positive. But just recently, in the regular prayer emails that come round, I've sensed that it's gone up a gear. And there have been more people coming, and there have been more spiritual conversations, there have been more encouragements in prayer. And just reflecting on that, the tremendous way that prayer is prioritized in Rooted. connected. Every week these prayer emails come round, and it means that we can pray in an informed and a very specific way about what goes on. If you don't get the prayer email, I encourage you to talk to Jeff or to John or Rachel and to find out how you can get this prayer email on a regular basis. We are looking to launch gathering, launch rooted as a new gathering of South Parade Baptist Church. We will seek to do that in the months ahead, and it's just so exciting the work that is going on. The point is that I am convinced that there is a connection between the faithful, passionate prayer and God growing that work. And we see how God answers prayer. And so I want to encourage you about all of these things, but perhaps especially to ask God, who is ready to hear us and is ready to respond. And contemplation is also important, and we see this around this psalm. My heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise. Perhaps we can picture the psalmist meditating on God's word and trembling at the awesomeness, at the power, rejoicing in God's great love. These are things that you can do in a moment, but the psalm is so long. I don't sense the psalmist is doing that. I think he's hovering over this. He's brooding over this. He's reflecting. He's meditating. He's contemplating God's wonderful word and wonderful character and wonderful works. And those of us who are Christian men and women, who know God's word, who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, we can be excited and passionate as we contemplate God and his amazing, amazing goodness to us in Jesus. And I want to encourage us to be a church like that. Had an amazing experience not so long ago when we as a team, the ministry team, went to the New Wine Conference at St. George's. And Nathan had been asking me just beforehand, what are some of the really good experiences of God you've had? Or it might have been, when did you last have a really deep experience of God? And I found myself going back a number of years. And amazingly, on that day, I got another one. This doesn't happen to me all the time. But it was just one of the speakers was speaking. And what he was saying about knowing God, about knowing God deeply, about spending time with God in prayer, is something that I'd heard many times before, and it's something that I've said many times myself. But all I can say is that God just met with me in that moment, and it's obviously the grace of God and the power of God to break through. But if there was anything that was helping this, anything which was mediating God's presence to me, it was this guy who was a decent speaker, but he wasn't amazing. But it was just the sense that I got that there was no disconnect between what he was saying and the way that he lived. That he was someone with what the psalmists call an undivided heart, that when he spoke about God's presence, he was speaking out of a life where he prayed and he prioritized practicing the presence of God. When he talked about pressing on in holiness, about knowing God's holiness and being touched by that, you just sensed, you just knew that this was real in his own life. I rushed to the bookstore and I bought his book and I started to read it through. And to be honest, I was disappointed, you know, in a sense, the moment had gone. I don't know, quite wrongly, I think, because I'm a writer, I'm sniffy about other writers. And I said, well, the grammar of this sentence is wrong. How did this get through? And I repented of that. It's quite wrong. And of course, the book is very, very good. But it was the moment, and actually seeing this guy and engaging with this guy. And I just thought, I want to be like that. I want to be someone who spends time with God in prayer, who contemplates, and who really knows God on a deeper level. Not in any way for show. This guy wasn't sort of fussy. He wasn't showing off. In many ways, it was quite low key compared with other dimensions of the conference. But it was an amazing thing. You know, when we're like that, when you're like that as people, in the workplace, in the home, in the community, when you are engaging in mission, in whatever way that will be, if you have spent time in the presence of God, and if he has touched your life, then people know. What does it say about the early disciples in the book of Acts? The people who were interrogating them took note that these people had been with Jesus. May people say that about us. May we be women and men. May we be gatherings where we spend time with Jesus and people sit up and take notice, not because of us, but because of the grace of God and the power of God in our lives. Two further things very quickly. We need to be disciplined seven times a day. The psalmist says there is no record of this ever being required from Jewish people. And so this guy seems to be exceptionally keen and committed. Pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. And there is that encouragement to practice the presence of God during the day, to send up arrow prayers, to be conscious of God's presence and help. But we only do that when we have disciplined devotion. And I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, it's easier for me than it is for many of you, I know. Full lives, busy lives, irregular work patterns, young children, teenage children. It's not easy always to find time to pray. And we need to work this out in a way that actually challenges our lifestyle, perhaps, but also fits with the legitimate demands that are on us. But I do encourage you to be disciplined in prayer. God is with us when we pray. And there are so many opportunities for corporate prayer across the life of the church. Prayer walking from here this evening is going to be really exciting and something that is new in the context of South Parade, certainly in terms of its recent history. The breakthrough prayer meetings that we have on the third Sunday of the month in the evening, and the many opportunities there are to come together in groups for prayer across the life of the church. I've loved the times that I've been to the Crag drop-in and I've been able to eat the bacon and we've been praying in the prayer meeting afterwards with the smell of bacon still there and the presence of God genuinely there. Just very informal, very lovely, and that sense of prayer. Do take these opportunities when you can to come together in prayer. And just the encouragement for heart-to-heart engagement. Why does the psalmist pray? Well, the psalmist prays because he knows and loves God. It's not prayer for its own sake. It is prayer because prayer is this channel to connect with God. God speaks to us and we speak to him. very final slide that is coming up is Pete Gregg, who is the founder of 24/7 Prayer. I like Pete Gregg. Very, very earthy, very, very honest, very real, but just this heart for God. And you would think that as someone who has under God helped to birth 24/7 Prayer, a movement that has been radically transformative across the lives, not just of churches, but of communities and of nations, he would be bigging up prayer. But rather, this is what he says. Can I be honest with you? I'm actually not that into prayer. It's Jesus that I'm into, so we talk. I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God, so I ask for his help a lot. At the end of the day, this is a good way to bring our value series to a close, because actually we engage in mission, we embrace adventure, we are faithful in prayer. We believe in the centrality of the scriptures, because each one of those is a way to draw us closer to our God and follow our wonderful Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have that passion for God, and therefore we have a love for people and a heart for mission, because if we are following Jesus, we need to reflect his glorious and wonderful heart. Let's do that together across our different gatherings, across our different sites. It's just a wonderfully exciting vision, because God, as he reveals himself in Jesus in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, is wonderful and glorious. Let's commit to seek and to serve and to follow him together. Just going to spend a moment in quietness together, and then we're going to move into our song, and then Jeff and Barbara Cross, one of our elders, are going to come up and lead us in communion. Let's just be quiet for a moment, and I will say a brief prayer. Lord, thank you for your extraordinary grace to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the security that you give us. Thank you for the love that you pour into our lives. Thank you for the sure and certain hope that is the Christian good news. And so, Lord, we praise you that from this position of security, we can launch out on an amazing adventure of faith, following your Son, the Lord Jesus, wherever he leads. Help us to grow in knowledge and love of him. Help us to grow in following him into mission. And especially now, we pray, help us to be faithful in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Faithful One, so unchanging. The band are going to lead us. Let's stand together to worship our God.